You ever had something on your heart, and then you ask the Lord what he wants to talk about, and he tells you something totally different? That happened to me this morning, so it kind of threw a little monkey wrench in things. But I don't exactly know the fullness of what he wants to talk about, but I at least want to start where he told me to start, if that's okay with you guys. And I'm just telling you straight up, I don't know where we're going today. I don't have any idea, but I do know what's on his heart right now, and I just want to share that part of it, okay? And we'll see what unfolds. So you guys got grace for me? Okay. It's only going to be as good as I'm able to follow, and whatever you all pull out of me by the Holy Spirit. So let me just pray. Father, I just thank you. We just acknowledge you, Lord. The Father, it was you all along. You're the creator. You're the author. You're the finisher. And you even put it in us both to will and to do for your good pleasure, Lord. So, Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the praise and all the credit, all the accolades. It's you, Lord. So, Father, we just open up our hearts today. We open up our minds today, that we may receive what it is you wish to impart into us. And we just receive it willingly, Lord. We hunger and thirst for what you have for us, Lord. Quench that hunger, quench that thirst within us, Father. Father, there's times we don't even know what it is we need. But it's something, Lord. But you know. So, Father, we ask that you would scratch that itch, would fill that desire, would quench that hunger and thirst. And we trust you for it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this is what I was praying about this morning. And if I cry, forgive me. I don't know why. I have no idea. I'm perfectly fine. But it's like, it's a big deal. Thanks, I got some up here. Better start now, huh? Don't know what it is. All right, but I was praying and asked the Lord, and I had my message, I'm going along, and all of a sudden the thought occurred to me, I should probably ask the Lord if there's something special he wants to talk about today. And all of a sudden he just said to me, just says, my goodness. Pastor Trey's been teaching on the fruits of the Spirit, and he just said, my goodness. He says, my people don't really understand how good I really am. It's not deep, deep down in their hearts how good I really am. And he just wants to talk about that today, about his goodness. You know, we've been teaching healing school for a couple years now or so. We have our Wednesday night Bible studies that we do here, and Sunday services, Sunday evening services. And sometimes we can get into, we have to do something. We have to grow. We have to pray enough. We've got to believe hard enough. We got to pray in the Spirit long enough or fervent enough. And all those things are right and true. But it's God that does it, not us. All we can do is put down the flesh. All we can do is train our soul to quit trying to run roughshod over us and teach it how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's God that does it all. He's the creator. He's the author. He's the finisher. He puts it in our hearts both to will and to do. He puts the desire in us. He does it all. And God is good, and he wants us to honor him in his goodness, to really relish in his goodness. You know, Jesus was doing a bunch of miracles in the New Testament, all kinds of miracles. And one guy came up to him and said, good master. And he says, why do you call me good? No man is good but God. But you know what he saw? He saw the evidence of God in Jesus' life. It's the evidence of God. It's like Pastor Trey was saying, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's nearly synonymous with kindness. Goodness and kindness are really hard to distinguish the difference between the two of them because they are truly an attribute of God. And so, when we are looking for healing in our bodies, when we are looking for to be the Lord to somebody else, a good sign of whether or not God is with us is by the goodness and the kindness that exudes out of us as we're comforting that person or praying for that person. It's not about the power, although we need the power, but it's not about, I always think there's an outlet over there in that brick, and there never is. There never is. I don't know why I go there, but it's a habit of mine. It's like electricity by itself isn't any big deal. Who cares if there's electricity, if it's just only electricity, right? It's what we can do with the electricity, turning on lights, running equipment and machinery, staying warm in our house, those kinds of things. It's how that can be manifested, and what it can do is what makes electricity so valuable. There's always been electricity, there's always been lightning. But it's not until we can utilize it that it could actually do something for us. It's not about the power for the power's sake, because the power is God, isn't it? He's good. He's good to you. He's good to me. And we need to remember that. And I'm not trying to correct you. I'm trying to just share what's on my heart. God... let's go there real quick. The first time this word goodness is used in the Bible is when Moses was going to take the people into the promised land. He took them out of Egypt and he's going to take them across. And he said, Lord, if your glory doesn't go with us, then I don't want to go. We're not going to do this on our own. We can't do it on our own. And that's the way each one of us should approach each time we're going to pray for somebody, each time we're going to speak a word of the Lord to somebody, each time we're going to do a random act of kindness. We can't do it on our own. We can't establish our own goodness. It doesn't do anything. If the Lord doesn't go with us, what's the point? Really, if you're going to pray for people and the Lord doesn't show up, what's the point? You know that? If I'm coming up here to share with you or one of the other ministers and the Lord's not with us, really, what do we accomplish? It's the Lord himself in all of it. And sometimes we can get so caught up in what we need. And I know we need things. I know we all need things. I know we all are asking for things. But sometimes we just got to recognize how good God is and leave our stuff alone for a little while. Just lay it down. Sure, we need. I know we all need. But let's just lay it down and just acknowledge his greatness, his goodness, and his kindness. Because I'll tell you what, God is good. And he's worthy of our praise. He really, really is. And you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that if we just honor him for being so good, there's a very good chance healing could fill our body. There's a very good chance freedom could come to our lives. There's a very good chance that our prayers could be answered before we even have a chance to ask for them. Because he knows what we need before we ask. There's a very good chance of that. I know we need to press into the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I know there's things we need to do as men and women to grow up and be edified and built up. I agree with that 100%. But the reciprocation of that is a heart that is tuned in to the love of God, the goodness of God, and the righteousness of God. And when we're tuned into that, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. When I wasn't saved, I did not know God was good. I'll just give you, before we go to this verse, I'll just give you a personal testimony to my shame. I was raised my whole life. I can't remember, well, from about 7 years old, because I don't really remember before that, because I came from a broken marriage and it was very abusive, and so selective forgetting of those terrible, terrible days. So it's really hard for me to remember the details before that. But I know that by about 8 or 9, my dad got custody of us 6 kids, which was unheard of when I was little. And he got custody of us, and we would say grace before every meal. It was a requirement. Now, I want to let you know, I never saw a Bible. I never went to church. I never heard the name of Jesus in a loving way. But we had to say grace before every meal. Who knows? It's God. This is what we said. God is good. God is great. And we thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a great prayer. And there was no Bible. There was no Sunday school. I had no idea what I was putting into me every single time I ate food. My parents at least knew that much. It wasn't until I was well into my 40s that all of a sudden, ding, ding, a light went on when I was praying one day. God is good? It never crossed my mind in all the days of my youth that God was good and that God was great. And yet I had said it at least 3 times a day my entire life from 8 or 9 years old up till then. Is that crazy? Because this world cannot comprehend the goodness of God. It just can't even acknowledge the goodness of God because it can't even relate to God. But you can, and I can. And by the Spirit of God that dwells in us, we can really know how good he is. Going here back to Exodus 33. So Exodus 33. Hallelujah, Lord. Okay, I'm going to start way up high and come on down if that's okay with you. Starting in verse 13. I'm going to start way up there. Now therefore I pray, this is Moses talking to God. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. For consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Boy, how many of us crave that right there? How many of us actually in our heart just crave that one thing? That the presence of God is with us, and that we can rest in the presence of God. Just rest in the presence of God. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, if you don't actually do that, don't even tell us to go. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all people who are upon the face of the earth. So what is it that is different about this people than all the people on the face of the earth? God's presence. God's personally with them. That's what makes them different than everybody. Oh, are you kidding me? Somebody's calling me while I'm preaching. I'm sorry, you guys. It's happened twice this week to me, you guys. It's happened twice. I remind everybody else to turn off their phones and forget my own. But I'll tell you what. What was the distinguishing quality about Jesus? That the presence of the Lord was with him. Isn't that the distinguishing quality about him? Jesus says, if you don't believe I am who I say I am, then at least believe me for the works that I do. For it's not I that do the works, but the Father who is with me. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And Moses is very much saying the same thing. We're not going if you don't go with us. We're not going to do it. Because the distinguishing characteristic about us that separates us from the rest of the nations of the world is that you're actually with us. Let's just think about this for a moment. How many of us go through a portion of our lives, if not a significant portion, not actually experiencing the validity of the presence of God, the person of God, actually with us? Sometimes we hunger for that. Sometimes it's absent from the reality that we're living in day by day. And yet it's the distinguishing characteristic of a Christian is that God is with them. He says, I will never leave you alone. I will never, ever turn my attention off of you. I will always be with you. I'll never forsake you. That's pretty awesome. That's really awesome. And yet it's so easy to fall into a slump to think that I'm here and God's there, wherever there is, and that I need him to do something for me or to give me something because he's there, wherever there is, and I'm here. Verse 16, now how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate with you. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. I can't even tell you how many times in the Bible that God has said that he's going to do something just because we asked him to do it. Not for any other reasons. Because it came out of our mouth, that's why we get it. And sometimes we say things we wish we didn't say because we get it because it came out of our mouths. We don't know God's backing us up all the time with everything we're saying. And it's amazing how this, I strain a little bit, but who cares, right? It's amazing how when you try to say good things to get great results, you have doubt and unbelief that kind of blocks you at times. But it's amazing how if you're speaking something negative in your world, there's absolutely no doubt and unbelief. And that negativity just goes fly on right on out, and there's nothing in your heart that resists it at all. Isn't that amazing? But if you want to believe God for a miracle, for a healing, for prosperity, for a relationship restored, all of a sudden, all these considerations start showing up as to whether, am I worthy of it? Is he willing? Is there some sin in my life? Does he hear me? Have I lived right? Doesn't all that come up sometimes? Oh, that we would truly just live in the presence of God, if we would make that our single focus, our first priority, to really acknowledge the goodness of God and his loving presence with us always, that we would be so sensitive to the reality of the person of God that no plague can come near our dwelling. That we would be so enraptured and encapsulated by his presence and his glory that no evil could befall us. No sickness, no disease could come upon us because we are so steeped into his firm glory and goodness of him, his very self, his personage with us and in us. I mean, Jesus was awesome. I'm not kidding. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the Most High. And our Father is even more awesome than that. And our Father said he will be with us. That he will, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, dwell in us. I think we should really relish in that and not let the things of this world, the trappings of a busy schedule and responsibilities and a routine way of living, rob us from really seeking the face of the Lord, from really being able to make that connection that is so real and so vital that everything else takes second place. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth place. Right? I am not judging anyone. I'm not even reprimanding anyone. I'm not even slightly annoyed. I'm craving the reality of the full presence of God around us. I crave it. There's something in me that's hungering for it. To really be able to not ask him to do something for me, but that I would be so enraptured with him that whatever he does it through me. Not for my glory, not for my recognition, for my love of him. Verse 19, or rather, I'm going to go to 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. There's a lot of people that are not positive the Lord knows them by name. There are a lot of people that feel, I was one of those people. I was one of those people. It says in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about all the mighty works that they did. Casting out demons. Prophesying. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You never craved me. You craved the power. You craved the recognition. You craved the ministry. But it wasn't me, myself, you wanted. And I'll tell you, that when I read that the first time when I was a new creation, that freaked me out. I got really scared about it. And I wondered, does God even really know me? Lord, do you know my name? Okay, so he's the invisible God. How do you know if he knows your name or not? He's invisible. And that bothered me a lot. And one time I got taken to heaven, and I'm standing before the Lord, and he's on this throne. And I tell you, the glory of God was so strong. It was just, I had never experienced anything like that at all. The love of God that flowed out of him and out of that throne, it's not like anything in this world. And the acceptance of God that flowed out of him in that throne, I had never realized how he accepts us just exactly the way we are. We don't need to change a thing. Even if we're all messed up, even if we've just done something bad, we need to repent for it, of course, but it's not going to stop him from accepting us. If you have a small child, and you get it all dressed up for church, right? You're so proud of your little kid. Bring him in, show him to the pastor. Pastor says, let me hold him. And your little child just poops its diapers. Ooh, does it poop its diapers? Oh, that stinks. Ooh. Do you get mad at the child? No. You get a little embarrassed for the pastor. Go, oh, nice child. Here you go. But you don't hate the child. You just clean it up and move along. You know it's a byproduct of being small, right? Same with us. Most of us are still very, very small in the Lord's eyes. We're very young, and we make some mistakes. It doesn't stop him from just accepting and loving us just the way we are, though. So he's on this throne. He's not even looking at me. You've probably heard this story many times. He's looking straight ahead. I'm bawling my eyes out. My hands are up. The glory of God is so strong, I can't hardly stay up there in his presence. Everyone else is on their face laying down. I'm the only one standing up. And I want to get down and worship him like everybody else. He says, you wanted to see me? Stand. So I was standing there with my hands up. And I'll tell you, the Lord was looking straight ahead and talking to me, and his mouth never moved. Never moved. And I'm crying and bawling. It's a long thing. I'm thinking very small. Anyway, he, being God, brought this question that I had in my heart. Do you really know me? Do you know me? And he brought that, I wasn't even thinking that at all. And it brought that question up out of my heart. And he brought it up before me to see the question that was in my heart. And just as he brought the question up to see what was in my heart, I'm standing over there, he's sitting straight ahead. He does this. He looks right at me, nodded. I thought I was crying before. There's another level of tears and bawling that I didn't even know was existing. But I hit that one that time. He does know my name. He knows me personally. And I don't think it's one of those things to where if you do enough good things, then he'll recognize you for your good deeds. It's the attitude of our hearts. If you love the Lord, if you crave the Lord, he absolutely knows you. He's absolutely with you. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, there's something very reassuring to know that he knows you personally. You know that? And if there's any question in your heart or mind on whether he knows you personally or not, spend more time with him. They say that in order to get friends, what do you got to do? You got to be friendly. You got to befriend. You got to reach out to them. You got to make time for them, right? You got to be interested in them, in what they think, what they're going through, what they love, right? You got to be interested in that. And then a friendship develops over time through relationship, right? God could be the same way. Verse 17 again. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So in other words, God's glory is his goodness, or at least his goodness is an aspect of his glory. I'm sure there's more about God than we can understand, so we try to define it the best way we can. But he said that my goodness will pass before you. So God, I looked up this word. It's actually good. Kindness, goodness, it actually is that. Pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Isn't this interesting? First person, second person, third person. He's talking to God. God says the Lord's going to pass before him. And he said, come and stand here in the cleft of the rock next to me. Did you catch all that? Isn't that interesting? So he's talking to God, who he says the Lord is going to pass in front of him, and that he can stand in the cleft of the rocks next to him. Interesting. And the Lord said, here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it came to be, while my glory passed by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So God's goodness, for the first time it's being mentioned in the Bible, is here, and it's the glory of God that Moses wanted to see, the greatness of who God is. And guess what? His dominating attribute, as far as this conversation is the goodness of God. So he got to see the goodness of God passing before him. Let me ask you this. Again, no conviction, no judgment, just a question. What do your eyes see when you look around the world? What do your eyes see? What do your eyes focus on? What do your eyes pay attention to? Do you see the goodness of God wherever you look? Or do you see something else? It's easy if your life is in the natural to focus on natural things, isn't it? It's just the way of the flesh. It's easy to focus on myself and make me the center of my life. I can do that also, quite easily, as a matter of fact. Takes no effort at all to think about me. After all, I'm with me all the time, aren't I? And yet the Lord is saying, no, you're dead. It's me who lives now. You've been crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but it's I who live in you. Okay, take some rearranging of my mind and how I believe, isn't it? But I can also change my focus. I can also decide what I see. The Bible says to separate the precious from the vile, meaning there's plenty of vile around, doesn't it? But the Bible also says to the pure, quite a few things are pure. No? What does it say? To the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. So just to let you know, if your perspective is seeing what's wrong, what's not right, what's not going well, shortcomings, inadequacies, insecurities, and the list goes on and on, your attention may not be on the goodness of God, on the life of God, on the love of God, right? It might not be. I have been, as you can see, that I come here in soberness of mind and sincerity of heart that, boy, this is on me strong. I must have, or he wouldn't have put it on my heart, not really recognized the goodness of God in my world around me. Because if I'm talking about it, it must be alive inside of me too, right? So I have got no room to point a finger at anyone on the earth, because it makes me cry to think of the goodness of God and how wonderful he is, how much he saved me from, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I get to be with him forever. And he is so good. He is so good. So guess what I get to do? I get to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You get to walk in the fruit of the Spirit as a byproduct of our relationship with Him. Do you know what we get to do? We get to walk in love. We get to walk in joy. We get to have peace and walk in peace. We get to walk in the goodness of God. Let's look at a couple more verses, okay? Is this resonating with anyone? Or is this one of those messages? No, Robert, this one's just for you. We're just here for you, Robert, okay? This one you need, all right? We're just here being a sounding board for you, just so you can get it out, okay? Yeah, I don't think so. I think that I'm not the only one that can think of so many things about God, but His goodness, really, let it settle down in my heart how really good He is, how He delights to be good to me. He delights to be good to me. He delights to be good to me. So then if He's delighting to be good to me, if it's His good pleasure to give me the kingdom of God, if only God is good as Jesus says, and if I'm experiencing sickness in my body, tragedy in my life, loss of someone that I love deeply, it's not God, is it? Especially if I'm running into hard times. It's not God at all. God is good. He really is. And we need to bask in that goodness even more when troubles come, when pain fills our body. Seriously, when financial troubles hit, to really acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. To really, how do I say this, Lord? You guys can shout it out if He's given you the right words before me. To really be one with Him. To take, how do I say it? People, it's really easy to hear the minister sharing words with us. It's easy to hear His heart as He's sharing to some, most. To some people, it's just a big hole and it just goes in and who knows what it does. You never see any signs of it. But it's easy to hear words and never really let those words be the reality that we live in. You hear me? And to seek God's own face, even if it's not easily apparent, we keep pressing in, we keep focusing, we keep wanting to know Him more, we keep pressing into Him. And we reinforce the truth around us that He's with me, He'll never forsake me. Lord, You're with me. Your goodness is with me. Lord, that Your blessing is on my life. Thank You for Your blessing. And that we keep speaking faith, we keep speaking life, we keep acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And you know, if we keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that, I've got a feeling, a sneaky suspicion, that our troubles can't last long. They may come, but they can't last long. Because even in my lack or infirmity, when I start experiencing God as God, I don't care anymore about the lack or the infirmity. I really just don't even care about it. Because what I really crave is being given to me. I'm being satisfied on the inside by that relationship with God. Does that make sense? Does that bear witness with anybody? Thank You, Jesus. Okay. So let's go to Psalms 31, verse 19. Lord, you're so good. The Lord just told me just now as I'm turning these pages, I asked him, I said, are we doing what you want to do? And he just said to me, he says, I want my people to experience my goodness. How many of you want to experience the goodness of God more? I mean, isn't that the proof in the pudding when we actually get to experience his presence? Let's just do that right now. Go ahead and close your eyes or keep them open if you don't want to close them. I don't care. Father, we just release ourselves to you now that we can experience your goodness, Lord. That like Moses cried out that, you know, what is this life even worth if you don't go with us, Lord? So, Father, you say you never leave us and you never forsake us. You say that by your stripes we were healed. These things are written, Lord. But, Father, your goodness, we ask to experience your goodness in our lives, Lord Jesus. Your body, your presence. That overwhelming you, Lord. That in your presence is the fullness of joy, the word says, Lord. That we wish to experience your goodness, your kindness upon us and in our lives, Lord. He says, that's good. He says, keep praising him. So let's praise him. Father, we just pray, just in your own words before the Lord, just praise him your way. Just acknowledge his goodness to him. Use your mouth, your heart, your inner person. Father, thank you. We just acknowledge you, Lord. I just acknowledge you. I thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Father. Oh, I love your presence, Lord. I love your glory. More of your glory on us, Lord. More of your goodness on us, Lord. Fill us up, Father. Fill us up, Father. Fill us up, Father. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Just soak it in, people. Just soak it in. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise, all the glory. Oh, glory be to you, Jesus. Glory be to you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we just acknowledge your presence here today. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, soften our ground. Water our dirt, Lord. Soften us to perceive you and to know you. Open us up where we resist you, Lord. Have your way with us, Father. That we'd be supple and pliable to you, Lord. Easily entreated, Lord. That we just, oh, relish in your presence day by day, moment by moment. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to keep you on the forefront of our heart and mind. Help us to have a lifestyle of seeking you, praising you, acknowledging you in every single thing we do, Lord. That you are the provider. You are the initiator. You are our leader. You are our Father. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Boy, I don't know about you guys, but God's good. God's really good. And the more that I can yield to him, the more that I can acknowledge him, the gooder he gets. I know that's not proper English, but you know what I'm saying. The gooder he gets. And if you can't experience that goodness, you're hard-hearted. You're very hard-hearted. And you need to let the Lord break you. There's a saying in the Bible about those who fall upon the rock. And those who do not fall upon the rock will fall upon you and grind you to powder. I'm not saying you as in the people in this room. I'm just saying what the Bible says about that verse. That we have to humble ourselves before God. That we have to open ourselves up that he can entreat us and not expect him like a hurricane or like a flood to overwhelm us and make us, by dominating us, subdue us into his love and kindness. It's quite the contrary. That we would open ourselves up as a willing vessel to experience him and his fullness. And if we're hard-hearted and disconnected, we need to get reconnected to the vine, that life can flow back through us again, so that our perception of godliness can be rekindled inside of us. Because the more that we do that, no matter where we go, it will be the glory of God that goes before us. We will be a witness, not because of the words we speak, but because God is with us wherever we go. Doesn't that make it easier, you guys? If you go out witnessing, oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to convince them of? Am I going to drag them to church? That's one way to do it. But would it be easier if we were so much in love with our Father and spent so much time with our Father that his glory and his presence envelops us, that wherever we go, we're in peace? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wherever we go, we have confidence because we don't need anything from anyone on the planet because God fills us all in all. That every need is met, that every desire is fulfilled, that there is no want or lack because he fills us fully. Wouldn't that be an easier witness to other people? Wouldn't that be? And if it's truly the Lord that does the work, if it's truly the Lord that heals people, if he loves others even more than we do, wouldn't it be him that meets their needs just because we're in their presence? And we don't have to strive to do it, feel like whether we're acting right or not, if we're thinking right or not, if we prayed or if we've given enough money, but simply because our attention is so much on him that everything else is a shadow around us and he's the real. And let him be himself as we be with him. Wouldn't that be easier? I think it would be too. Like I said, I have no plan for the way this is going. I'm just being led at the moment with you guys. But I just feel this overwhelming desire that God wants a real face-to-face encounter with us. But some of us, he can't have a face-to-face encounter with because we don't care to have a face-to-face encounter with him. We got too many other things on our minds than to be with him. Don't let it be named among us that we just go to church and we sit on a pew and we hear a sermon week after week after week, but we never actually build a life with the one that every single sermon is about. Are you with me? We all need more of the experiential reality of our Heavenly Father in our life. All of us can use more of that. Are you with me? I'm just going to stop now. I encourage you to seek the Lord. And I'm not saying any of you are not a Christian. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff at all. I'm not saying any of you aren't going to be in heaven for all eternity. I'm saying that until that day comes, when this flesh has finished its course, that you and I, while we walk on this world, can be like Jesus, that had such a close relationship with our Heavenly Father that it is the single most important thing in our lives, even above our spouses, our jobs, our calling, and any other thing that can be named. If he really does have the name that is above every name, and he's actually the very most high of all, then I don't think there's anything better to seek. Why not go for the best? Why not? Anything less than that is less than what's available, right? So I just ask that you guys, with me this week and on into perpetuity, or whatever that word is, for eternity, really learn how to experience the life of God in your life. Amen? I love you guys.